Well, in the wake of the mosque attacks in Christchurch, Parliament now needs to grapple with whether the country's surveillance laws need to be tightened. This will raise difficult questions of how to balance the rights of privacy against the right to security and safety. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, joins us now. Tēnā koe. Good morning to you, Prime Minister.
Morena.
I want to talk with you about three things today: the threat we face, the tools we have to meet that threat, and the diplomacy that we are deploying to keep us safe. If I could start with the threat level. Now, the threat level is high. That is the assessment that's given, which means that an attack is assessed as very likely. So what is the nature of this threat that we determine as being very likely to occur?
And again, as I've stated a few times, because obviously, when there's a change and we went from low to high, that triggers two things. One is the response internally from government departments and agencies. So it means that they step up their response. We change the way that we deal with issues at the border. So there's a response that's triggered simply by that change in security.
But what is the nature of the threat? Where is the threat coming from?
And as I've said, there's nothing specific here that we are responding to. And I tried to make that clear in the immediate aftermath. But there is an acknowledgement that from the international evidence and experiences, keeping in mind New Zealand hasn't had this experience before, that then 4 to 6 week period afterwards, there does tend to be talk of retaliation, talk of copycat. So whilst we're not responding to something very specific, in general terms, it's considered to be prudent and vigilant if we maintain a high level of responsiveness in the wake of an attack like this.
So should one community now have any more reason to be concerned than anyone else? Who should be more alert?
And what
should we do?
And what we're maintaining here is just vigilance across the country. My message to anyone would be, if you see anything online you consider threatening, report it. We have, of course, the NZSIS are following up on anything that's brought to them, as is the New Zealand Police. Their investigations around this terrorist attack are obviously wide-reaching and comprehensive, but they are continuing to follow up any concerns raised by the community more generally as individuals respond in the wake of the attack.
Okay, let's talk about the security agencies then, the security and intelligence agencies. Will you beef up the powers of the security and intelligence agencies?
I would need first to know that we had a direct failing in that regard. I haven't yet gone. Obviously, there's been, and with good reason, discussion over whether or not our security and intelligence agencies were undertaking the kind of surveillance in the areas where New Zealand may experience threat and risk and specific members of the community. What I haven't had evidence around is whether or not their powers limited them from doing the work that they needed to do. I do think it's important that we have further information. This is why something like a Royal Commission, which I do want to be timely. I know the public doesn't want to wait, but I do want first the information that demonstrates to me exactly what we need to do to prevent this ever happening again.
Okay, well, let's work with what we know in terms of what their powers are. Andrew Hampton, March 18, so just after the attacks, this is Andrew Hampton's statement.
Of the GCSB.
Yep, that's right, the Director General of the GCSB. Quote, New Zealand's intelligence and security agencies do not currently have the legal authority, technical means or resources to actively monitor all online activity that occurs in New Zealand. End
quote. No, that's right, Guyon. And actually, you'd find most Western democracies do not engage in mass surveillance of activities generally on the internet. We're not alone in that.
Yeah. Can I follow up that question, though? Can I follow up that question by asking you whether or not they have the power to legally sit in on these chat rooms? It appears that they do not. What is the status? Like the 8chans and the Facebooks, are they able to legally sit in on that?
Again, keeping in mind we have two different agencies here. One is the GCSB, one is the NZSIS. The NZSIS is the one is focused on the collection and gathering of intelligence, and that includes human intelligence gathering. So do they have the ability to engage? Yes. Will they always necessarily? Is it easy in an environment where there is encryption, where there are closed groups? That's a challenge for every Western democracy. And so that's not necessarily around whether or not they have the powers, although...
Well, can I get clarification on that? Because who would it, under current law, have the ability, legal and technical, to sit in on these chat rooms and monitor these extremists? Who would do that?
Again, some of that hypothetical comes down to the nature of, and again, you'll forgive me for not wanting to get into too much detail on the practice of some of our intelligence agencies, Guyan, but do we have the ability to engage in extremist groups who make threats and violent threats against New Zealanders?
Right, so but you'd need a warrant to do that.
The question we're rightly asking here is, were we in the places that we needed to be in order to assess intelligence?
And the obvious answer is no, we weren't, were we? Because there was an intelligence failure.
Obviously, this individual was not on a watch list, and that's known, Guyan.
And we were looking in the wrong place, weren't we? We were looking at Muslim communities.
Guyan, if I could just finish a sentence. Equally, the question is also whether or not the resource and capacity was being directed in the right place.
Well,
at the moment, we're 3 years into a four-year scale-up because there was acknowledgement that we had an under-resourced set of agencies. $169 million over 4 years has been put in. That hasn't been completed yet.
Can I talk about the budget and ask a question about that? Because in 2018, they got $82 million. They spent $66 million, according to their annual report. They underspent.
And without being in a position to go into some of those individual details on that, some of the issue, of course, is making sure that you're able to recruit the individuals that are required in order to fulfil the expectations.
Does it surprise you they underspent by $16 million in 2018, and in 2017 they got $61 million and spent $57 million? So they're not spending the money you're giving them.
If it's around recruitment, no, that doesn't surprise me. Because
I don't know if it's around recruitment. Is that what you're saying it is?
No, I'd want to check, Guyon, and I'd be happy to do so. But again, those are legitimate questions. We do want to make sure that when it comes to issues of threat and safety for New Zealand, that our resources are being directed in the right place. Now, look, I absolutely hear the Muslim community raising that. And my expectation is that the Royal Commission that we're establishing will look into that very quickly.
Yeah, can I quote again
and
from
the agencies themselves wish for that?
Yeah, can I quote again from the annual report of 2018? Quote, the majority of leads identified...
Can I just clarify which DCSB or NZSAE?
Sorry, SIS. Yes. Annual report 2018. The majority of leads identified during 2017-2018 were linked to ISIL. And it goes on to talk almost exclusively about...
And that's actually a helpful point to make, Guyon. NZSIS, of course, acknowledging that a large portion of their work is lead-based, and that's why you'll keep hearing me encouraging and the Muslim community, members of our community generally, in raising it. Should not all be on them, of course, but a lot of the work they do is lead-based. They investigate issues that are raised with them and brought to them. And what we want to ensure is that when and if that has occurred, that the appropriate response and follow-up has been made. Mm. There is an absolute need for this Royal Commission to do this work.
The
community have raised concerns, and it's not enough for me to give explanation. We need that independent oversight.
Have resignations been offered to you?
No.
From the security agencies?
No, they have not.
No.
And nor would I expect that, Guyan. Okay. We're in a period where actually we're still responding to the incident. But equally, I do want the Royal Commission to look at this properly. Assurances shouldn't come from me, and they shouldn't come from the heads of the NZSRS and the GCSB or the minister in charge. It needs to be independent.
Fair enough. Just finally on the diplomatic front, Winston Peters went to Turkey, he got his meeting with Erdogan, and then didn't raise the video that Erdogan's been playing. Was that good enough?
And actually, the point that I've been making is, the minister was actually at a meeting of the Islamic community globally and leaders from the Islamic community. And he was the one that contacted me and said, I think New Zealand needs to be present, and he was absolutely right. And going in, we'd already stated to Turkish representatives that we had concerns over the use of that video. But going in, he had a much wider job. He was the face, alongside Jenny Salisa, of New Zealand in the wake of this attack, putting forward the grief of New Zealand, the response of New Zealanders, and the work we were doing to ensure the safety of the Muslim community here. And that could have been a very different response from the community had he not gone over and put those arguments to those community leaders face-to-face. And also, when it comes to Turkey specifically, he sought the safety of New Zealanders looking to travel there, and there was a very different response from Turkey around New Zealand in the wake of his visit.
Thanks for your time this morning. Do appreciate it. It is Jacinda Ardern, of course.